continue. On the lesson that we started last week, you hear such strange things about the Church of Christ. You hear such strange things about the Church of Christ. In last week's lesson, we discussed the fact that Jesus Christ was a controversial person, not by choice. It's not because Christ wanted to be controversial, but because of misinformation. That was one of the reasons. The people who found Christ controversial, they didn't get their information right. Another reason is because of misunderstanding. They didn't understand Christ or what he said. Another reason we stated then was because of Christ's uncompromising attitude and approach to God's way of saving men and women. Another reason, of course, was man's preconceived ideas. That is what Homan had in his head about how God should be served, what God's will was. That had a collision with what Christ was presenting, and that created problems. We pointed out that one of the accusations or strange things that were being said about the Church of Christ is that we do not believe in the Old Testament. We started out on that point in showing that a proper approach to God's Word must of necessity accept that there are two major divisions in the Bible. Old and New Testament. That was not made by man. That there is an old will or testament and a new one that is God's. Not only God's doing, but God teach that. So we pointed out that without that acknowledgement, that there are two major divisions in the Bible, you are going to have a problem with the Bible. We pointed out that in addition to the two major divisions, you must also acknowledge that there have been, throughout all the ages that God has dealt with man, he has done so under three different dispensations, meaning he does not, or he has not dealt with man from creation up to now the very same way. He dealt with man under what is called the patriarchal dispensation. What does that mean, Brother Mitchell? The time when God dealt mainly with the head of the household, the father, patriarch. That's why it is patriarchal dispensation. The Almighty God would deal with Adam. He would deal with just Noah. Noah would pass it down to the rest of the family. He would deal with Abraham, and Abraham will pass it down to the family. He would deal with Isaac, and Isaac would pass it down to the family. That is the patriarchal dispensation that started from creation up to the time of Moses. We also discussed that there is the Mosaical dispensation. That is from the Almighty God through the leadership of Moses led the children of Israel from Egypt and gave them the Ten Commandments and other things. That was given just for the Israelites, including the Sabbath. That's right. The Bible tells us that the Israelites are the first to whom the Sabbath was preached. Somebody didn't hear that. The Bible tells us that the Sabbath was first preached to Israel. So when people come telling you that the Sabbath was from creation, point out to them that the word Sabbath has never been used in the book of Genesis. I need to repeat that. The word Sabbath has never been used in the book of Genesis. That's one. And two, God tells us that Israel are the one to whom it was first preached. You see, that is all under the Mosaical dispensation. The Mosaical dispensation lasted from God led them out of Egypt up to the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And then God deal with us also, and is dealing with us in what is known as the Christian dispensation. Are we there? The Christian dispensation started with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are we there? The Christian dispensation will end when time ends and we enter eternity. The Christian dispensation will end when the world ends. The Christian dispensation will end when judgment comes. Are we there? Are we there? Just in passing, we now live under the Christian dispensation. That's right. Watch here. This is why. Remember, it started with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Watch here. There were no Christians before Christ dead, buried, and resurrected. No Christian. But Brother Mitchell, what about all the godly people under the... Yes, that's all they were. They were just godly men and women. This is why. You find that the word Christian is not used in Matthew. It's not used in Mark. It's not used in Luke. It's not used in John. Did you get that? The word Christian is not used in any of the four Gospels. Why, Brother Mitchell? There were no Christian then. And there could be no Christian then because Christ had not died, buried, and resurrected. We live under the Christian dispensation. Are we there? Are we there? So last week when we were on the fact that we live under the Christian dispensation, that's where we ended last week. Look here. That also implies, get this, that no person today is living under either the patriarchal or the Mosaical dispensation. No man or woman today need to go back to the system given to the children of Israel under Moses. When you read it, you just read it to understand more about God's ways, how he dealt with men, etc. We are not living under the law today. That does not mean we are lawless. That's right. May I throw something out? In the book of Romans, chapter 2, verse 12 through verse 14, we will not read it. The Holy Spirit through Paul said, the Gentile which had not the law. So up to that time, up to 50 years after Christ, 50 AD or about, 45, 50 AD, God had not given the law to the Gentile. Watch here now. Yet, God will be judging them by moral principle. Even though they didn't have the law. God said he didn't give it to them, but that didn't make them lawless. That's right. And the passage continued to show that even though God did not give them the Ten Commandments and the law, etc., God gave them a conscience. The passage will show. Are we there? I want to read, there are some grounds that I must cover today. Let's run to Romans chapter 10, verse 4, Colossians 2, 14, Hebrews 8, 3. And remember, we are on the fact that no person today is under either the patriarchal dispensation or the Mosaical dispensation. What does that mean? The Almighty God did not give them the same specific that he gives us. Put it another way then, no? The specifics that God gave them to obey, to live by, are not the same specifics which he gives to us today. That's right. Did I say Romans 10, 14, or 4?
4.
Let us hear it quick.
For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness.
Did you all hear that? Is there anybody here who does not know what E, I capitalize it, what end means? That's right. It's the final. It's weird thing finish. Huh? Jesus Christ is the end of the law.
For righteousness. To everyone that believeth.
In other words, if you are going to be righteous, it's going to be in Christ and it's going to be through faith. That means the law ends there. So, that's right. Read the other passage, Colossians 2:14.
Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that were against us.
Brother Matthew Blake, what am I doing here now?
Blotting out, brother. Yes.
Can you see what I wrote? You can't see. I blot it out. It's not there. It doesn't exist anymore.
Amen.
Start again, brother.
Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances.
You know what that refers to? That is the Ten Commandments system. The handwriting. That is the Ten Commandments system. That refers to nothing else but that. Blotting out
the handwriting of ordinances that was against us.
Why was it against us? Because what we need, that system could not supply it. writing out the handwriting of ordinances. That was against us. That was contrary to us.
And took it out of the way.
Wait. He's giving us some detail in respect to how it was blotted out. If you didn't understand, Matthew Blake, what it means to blot out, now you must understand, and he took it
out of
the way. It's not in your way anymore. No, how can God, how can men not understand it? Not only blot out, he took it. Notice, he took it and placed it somewhere else. No. He took it out
the way.
The way.
Nailing it to the cross.
It was nailed to the cross of Jesus Christ. So when people foolish and come with Sabbath and all that, they are not reading the Bible. Or probably God has blinded them through strong delusion. That's right. What are you on, Brother Mitchell, that we are neither under the patriarchal nor the Mosaical dispensation? Hebrews 8:13. Luke 16:16. Quick, brother.
13.
Hebrews 8:13.
In that he saith, A new covenant. He hath made the first old.
Now that which is so old and begin to decay, you better put it away.
And what says old is ready to vanish away.
You hear that? Ready to vanish away. That's the old covenant. Is there somebody who doesn't understand that? Huh? That's right. The other passage, Luke 16:16.
The law and the prophets.
The law and the prophet
were until John.
Everybody here knows what the word UNTIL, what it means, huh? Huh? It means up to this point and not beyond.
Since that time, the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into
it. That means something else has come in its place. The kingdom is the church. And what was preached is the gospel. Are we there? So I say to you today, because we are not under either the patriarchal or the Christian or the Mosaical dispensation, God's primary guide and instruction and directive for us this side of the cross is the gospel of Jesus Christ as found in the New Testament. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, chapter 3, verse 6, and verse 13 and 14. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 through 2. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Galatians chapter 2, 14. Quick, brother.
2 Corinthians 3, verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
Who also had made us able ministers of the New Testament.
You sure you see that there, brother?
Of the New Testament.
You wear glasses? Of what?
Of the New Testament.
Everybody hear that? He has made the apostle, inspired by God, is speaking, writing. The Holy Spirit is directing him. That Jesus Christ has made us able ministers, specifically of the
New Testament.
New Testament!
Not of the letter.
Not of! That's the Old Testament, you know. Not of the Old Testament! That's what the word letter means. But of the
Spirit.
Spirit!
For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life.
that again, I repeat that all that the Old Testament they did was to put you under condemnation, showing you how you have sinned, but did not show you a way out. Because the animal sacrifice was not a way out. It only temporarily appeased God's anger and God's righteousness. It did not deal with man's sin. Verse 13 through 14.
And not as Moses.
We are not like Moses. That's what that means.
Which put a veil over his face.
Who had to cover his face.
That the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished.
Wait. Somebody doesn't know what abolished means. So I'm going to tell you. It means you wipe it out. You put it away forever. It means it's no more relevant or applicable. That which is abolished. Read on now.
But their minds were blinded. For until this day remained the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament.
Wait. You see, that Old Testament is used in the Bible. And New Testament is used there too. You see? And it says, until today, when you read the Old Testament, there is a covering over your understanding. It doesn't mean mere reading. It's when you read it to follow it.
That's right.
It means you are still blind.
Which veil is done away in Christ?
Yeah. When you turn to the gospel in Christ, then that covering is removed. Oh, Lord of mercy. That was Corinthians. And that was verse 13 through 14.
Yes.
Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. God
who at sundry times and in diverse manners.
God who many times and in different ways.
Spake in time past. Unto the fathers by the prophets.
Not to us. That is referring to the Old Testament. When he used the prophet, it was not primarily to us, but to the fathers. Notice now how he's speaking to us. Art in these
last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things.
Jesus Christ is speaking to us through the gospel. And look here now in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Let us hear it.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein...
Wait. Watch here. Therein. That means in the gospel. What happened?
Is the righteousness of God revealed.
God's way of making us righteous is to be found only in the gospel.
Amen.
So you can read the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament, from now until thy kingdom come. And if you follow the Old Testament, you will never know how to be righteous God's way. Because God did not reveal it there, but he revealed it in the gospel. Brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen. May I? One of the accusations, or another accusation, remember what the series of lessons are? Are you there? You hear such strange things about the Church of Christ. One of the strange things is, are you there? You think that only you and your little group will get to heaven. Woo! How strange that is. That's really strange. May we address that now? You think that only you and your little group going to make it to heaven. Brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, to begin with, it does not matter and make any difference what you or I think. You see, you're accusing us. You people think that only you and your little group are going to make it to heaven. Let's assume that we think that. Our thinking does not in any way affect God's will by which you are going to be saved. So what we think does not make any difference. Romans 4 verse 3. I join in with the Apostle Paul when he asks the question, but
for what saith the Scripture?
What saith the Scripture?
Abraham
believed. Wait, take time with the brother. You people think. Wait. It's not what we think that matters. It's what the Scripture says. What God says. So this is why two places. Paul asks this question, one here in Romans chapter 4 verse 3 and one in the book of Galatians. What saith the Scripture? That's what counts. Are we there? Our opinion do not amount to anything on the matters of pleasing God. Are we there? Then you talk about you and your little group. Look at Matthew 7:21. Quick, brother. Matthew 7:21. Quick. Matthew 7:21.
Not everyone that saith unto me.
Read to 23.
Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name have done many wonderful works? Then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
What verse is that?
23.
Step back up to 14.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
Wait, brother. Huh? Did the person say, you and your little group? Huh? Well, you see, what Jesus Christ said, say only few going to find the right way. And so it's a little group going to find the right way. Is that right? That's right. In fact, not only that passage. Look in the passage of Matthew 20 verse 16. Matthew 20, 16 on the very same point. Talking about that little group.
So the last shall be first. And the first last. For many be called, but few chosen.
Somebody didn't hear that. Huh? Many are called, but few are chosen. So if you get hung up with a little group, then as far as God is concerned, the majority of humanity going to be lost. That's right. God's thinking on the matter of man's salvation is what matters and what counts. And that is what should interest all of us. May I? Christ left his plan of salvation here. We are still on the point. You think it's only you and your little group. And we are telling you that God's word affect our thinking? What the Bible teaches on the matter of who will or who will not be saved is on the fact that God, through Jesus Christ, has a plan of salvation. Put it another way, Mr. Mitchell, he has conditions that must be met if we are going to be saved. Is that right? Is that right? There is salvation for no man or woman outside of Jesus' plan. And the quicker you can learn that, is the better it is for you. That outside of the straight and narrow way as found in the gospel of Christ, there is salvation for no man or woman. It matters not how religious you are. It matters not how sincere you are. Outside of the doctrine of Jesus Christ, there is salvation for no man or woman. The gospel of Christ. First, you and I learn that God has revealed in the gospel who is going to save man. We have just read that, Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. Then in chapter 2 of Romans, verse 16, that's the second point about the gospel. First, that in the gospel, God revealed how you and I and every man and woman going to be saved. Then the second point is that we learn in the gospel that we are going to be judged. We are going to be judged by the gospel of Christ. Romans chapter 2 and verse 16. Is that found in the earth?
In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel.
Everybody hear that? Wait. So not only has God revealed how you and I and every man going to be saved in the gospel, but when judgment comes, it is the gospel that he's going to use. Not your church doctrine. That's the second point. Then thirdly, we are saved. Wait, let me back up. We are called, not by angel, not by a dream, not by any supernatural thing that comes to our day. According to the book of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 14, we are called by the gospel. Did you notice that that is the third thing? Number one point. God revealed how we are going to be saved in the gospel. Number two, we are going to be judged by the gospel. Are we there? Number three, we are called by the gospel. Huh? Number four now, according to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let me hear that one. Verse 1 and verse 2.
Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you.
The gospel must be preached.
Which also ye have received.
The gospel must be received.
And wherein ye stand.
You must stand in the gospel.
By which also ye are saved.
Take time with me, dear brother. You are saved by the gospel. You notice this? The gospel must be preached or be taught. The gospel must be received by you. The gospel, you must stand in it. That means you must live your daily life by it. And you are saved by the gospel.
If you keep in memory.
You must keep in memory
what I preach unto you.
The gospel.
Unless you believe in
God. Too much there. Watch here. It's not something that looks like the gospel. It's not something that resembles the gospel. The Old Testament system resembled the gospel in many aspects. The teaching of John the Baptist looks close to the gospel. But you know what? There were some people who baptized, who received John the Baptist's teaching and got baptized. When Paul met them in his text, Paul showed them that they were still not Christian. So, visiting friends, you are our honorable guest. If you are a member of a church, don't mix that up with being a Christian. That's right. Because that you are a member of a church doesn't mean you are a Christian in God's sight. And if you don't believe me, run to the book of Acts. We won't run to it now because there are a few other points to cover. Run to the book of Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verse 1 through verse 5. And you will see some people there who were even baptized unto John's baptism. But you know what? Paul had to teach them over and baptize them over. Are we there? Are we there? The gospel of Christ accommodates nothing else. Are we there? Are we there? I wonder if... Okay, brother, let me rush through this. So we move on to another point. That will be the final point. And that is... Another strange thing we hear about the Church of Christ, you talk about and you criticize other churches too much. Oh Lord have mercy, help me Lord to deal with this. For next week I won't be able to deal with this. What did I say, Brother Bean, that they say that they criticize us because they say we criticize other churches too much? Okay? Brothers and sisters, I want you to listen me carefully. Are you listening? Do you hate, dislike, or criticize the Bureau of Standard for pointing out food or restaurant, food that is contaminated, or restaurant that does not serve sanitary meal? Do you? When the Bureau of Standard published the name of a restaurant whose food they found to be contaminated, do you dislike the Bureau of Standard for that? No, you are glad. Huh? When the Lord's church point out doctrine that is contaminated, shouldn't you praise the Lord's church for that? Huh? Do you hate the American Cancer Society for pointing out that there are some 23 deadly poison in cigarettes? Wait, let's. You said, wait, remember where we are coming from, Michael. They said, we criticize other church too much. So we are showing you now the principle upon which this is done. The American Cancer Society. Okay, you love your cigarette? Well, first, as a Christian, you're not supposed to love that. But whether you're a Christian or not, let's say you're not a Christian, and you do your little smoking. Now, that's not good for your health. You do not hate the American Cancer Society for pointing it out. Now, I'm going to read from the American Cancer Society book. I have this book. You know, I searched for it the other day and found it. I have this book from about 1963 to 1964, when they were just publishing them and put on the news that you can just send and get it. I was in college then in Michigan. And I was glad when I found it. I'm going to turn to, you see how it old and tape up? That's right. I'm just going to turn to page 10 and let you hear what them say and ask you. Okay, listen. Do you know what remains in your lungs when you inhale just one puff of smoke? Now, watch here now. Every time you draw on a cigar or pipe, you are exposed to at least 44 different chemicals. Now, he's going to pick out 23, which are the most deadly poison. Yes. 44 different chemical and poison. 23 among the most deadly are lutidine, rubidine, carbolic oxide, formaldehyde, methamine, acrolein, collodine, vertidine, arsenic, formic acid, microtin, hydrogen sulfide, pyrrol, furfural, benzpyrene, menthol alcohol, prussic acid, cordin, ammonia, methane, carbon monoxide, pyridine. All these, in fact, listen to this. Most cigarettes contain approximately 4% of glycerine. Listen to this carefully. Which plays a moisturizing part. Burning with tobacco, glycerin produces acrolein. Acrolein was one of the most deadly gases used in World War I. And when the tobacco burned, it formed that gas. In World War I, when poisonous gas was used to kill people, that was one of the gases used. Watch here now. Can we get back to the sermon now? Do you against the American Cancer Society when they tell you all this? If you are sensible, shouldn't you say, thank God somebody is pointing it out? Are you there? Talk about you criticize other church too much. In fact, I'm not finished with it. I'm just getting started. Are we there? 23 deadly poison. Are you there with me? You're not there. Thank you. Just last week, I'm back to the Bureau of Standards. Just by chance, I was listening to radio. We're back with the Bureau of Standards. The Bureau of Standards, the news said last week, I don't remember if it's Sunday or Monday, that the Bureau of Standards will shortly start publishing in the paper and the news, wherever, the names of concrete block manufacturers. Well, this one, somebody didn't hear. The Bureau of Standards will start publishing the name of people, companies that build concrete blocks that are not up to standard. That's going to be, you're going to hear the name on the radio in the newspaper. Why? To protect you when you are building your house. Because if the standard was not, if the block was not subject to the right pressure, when you build your house and go up a little, the block then just crumbles and your house comes right down. So the bureau standard is trying to protect you from that. When they point that out, do you hate them? Do you think they are doing a bad thing? No! You are glad! Well, should you be glad when the Church of Christ point out that they are contaminated doctrine and teaching and worship in these various places? Oh Lord, time, you see, man. just recently, there were two juicy beef patties right within our proximity. One down here, so, and one up there, so. That was shut down. Because when Juki Chin Sen, while it was franchised, when he sent his people to inspect that if they live up to the standard, they were not. So they couldn't sell his product anymore and they couldn't wear the name anymore. Are we there? Why, you are saying we you know, think we are doing a bad thing. If you are buying fruit and the fruit examiner tell you that there are some boxes of orange and apple over yonder that are rotting and they are contaminated, do you hate the fruit examiner? No, you are glad, because that will save you from buying bad fruit. You know what? I'll have to pick up on this because time is gone. Time is gone. I have quite a few more illustrations to bring across to you that they are solid principle upon which the large church ever since. In fact, one of the points I'll be sharing with you when I pick up is that Jesus Christ prays one of his congregation in the Bible because they were not only discriminating, but they put religious falsehood to the test. Jesus Christ prays that church. But we're not going to get in that now. That is too nice to rush through. Lord, brothers and sisters, when Jesus Christ sends you guidance, make sure that you appreciate that guidance. And make sure that you obey the directive from God's word. Right now you can do that. You can do that. You've heard the word. You can believe, and it is within your power to believe in the teachings of Christ, the gospel. It is in your power to acknowledge that you are a sinner. You have not conducted your life according to the will of the Almighty God in Christ. And that calls for repentance, turning from your ways to God's way. You can do that today if you believe that Jesus is the Christ, and if you accept your sinful condition and the fact that Jesus Christ can deal with your sin problem. When you believe, you must repent. Having repented, you must confess your faith in Christ. And then you must be baptized for the removal of your sin. Do you know you can do that today? We are about now to stand and sing a song. It is a chance for you to step forward and show the Almighty God that you have accepted Jesus Christ and the gospel for your salvation and nothing else. Because God has given nothing else. Let us stand.